All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, August 8th of 2025. Looking ahead here, already this morning, we had golf round two get underway for the FedEx Cup. We had live slate for golf tee off as well. We had 30 tennis matches this morning, and then we also had some League of Legends action. So good luck to all of you already playing some DFS today. Later this afternoon, we have trucks for NASCAR in about an hour and a half here. We have a three-game WNBA slate and then 14-game MLB slate. So that is about like six different sports going on all at once. Ton of DFS action here in August heading into college football and NFL season. So super fun. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show tomorrow on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. If you guys aren't signed up with us and you're hearing about all these different sports that you could check out, we do have a five-day free trial. Link and details about that are in the description of this video as well. So I always recommend people start on like a Friday or like the weekend. That way you get access to like Saturday, Sunday, then takes you like into the middle of the week there, just because there's certain sports on the weekend that aren't during the week. All right. No questions prior to the show. We do have one from Demetrius here to get us started. Say, good afternoon. Can you do a NASCAR trucks demo? Thanks for all you do. Yeah, no problem. This is actually, you know, sometimes these are like hard to do, right? Like the NASCAR cup race or like Xfinity, usually just because we have to wait until qualifying is like done for the projections to be up. But I'm pretty sure with this race coming up in about like a little over an hour here, we actually should have projections and ownership so we can actually do like a real-time demo here. So that's kind of cool. Let's get this pulled up. And let's jump over to a build, make sure we got something here. Cool. So we do already have projections and ownership, which is great, right? So something about trucks that I think is, well, just kind of NASCAR in general. You know, I know like cup race is like most popular and then it's like Xfinity and then kind of trucks, right? In my opinion, the strategy is like very, very similar for all of them. All these formats are the same. They all have so 36 drivers for trucks. We see somewhere between like 36 to like 40 drivers on average. So player pool size across trucks, Xfinity, Cup Race, very, very similar. Obviously, they're all doing the same thing, like driving around, you know, the track. And so I think that they all, you'll see, you know, multiple drivers. Like, hey, you'll see Kyle Busch, like racing for trucks and doing Cup Race. You'll see Kyle Larson doing, you know, Xfinity and Cup Race, right? So, like, you get some of the same drivers overlapping, right? Like, who's a name I can see here? Ross Chastain, you know, doing trucks today. Christopher Bell doing trucks today. Kyle Busch, right? These are all guys that will race on Sunday, I'm sure. So, you even get some of the same drivers, right? All this to basically say that I think that you have a good opportunity to effectively like practice or like hone in your process Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? Like something that's hard with a sport like MMA is that there are only fights on Saturdays and there's only like one slate, right? It's a main slate. So it makes it a little bit harder to, you know, if you play and then you review your lineups, you can't do anything again until next Saturday, right? If there's like another card. some people might take that approach with like cup race, right? Because that's probably what they follow and stuff. I think there is a missed opportunity for those people where you can also play Xfinity, also play trucks, and get three slates in a week as opposed to just one, right? More opportunities to review your results and to make adjustments and iterate on your process, right? So if I was like grinding NASCAR, I would be playing like every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as long as they have all three. Sometimes they don't have trucks. I've seen that, right? So, but if it's available, which it looks like it probably is this weekend. Yeah, all three this weekend. That's what I would be doing, right? I'd be trying to figure out each one here. So contest flashback, super important, right? So like I'd be playing Friday, reviewing my results Saturday morning, seeing, how I did, what updates I want to make, applying those Saturday night to Xfinity, Sunday morning reviewing, and then, doing my final one for the week for cup race, right? The other good thing is that, contests like prize pools kind of grow in that order as well, right? It's like highest prize for trucks is like 60K. And then if we go over to Xfinity, we see 80K for Xfinity, right? And then for Cup, I think they do like 300,000 plus because they usually have like a big flagship. Yeah, prize pool, 300,000, right? So prize pools are also growing. So, you can effectively like play less bankroll on like trucks, Xfinity, and kind of like work your way up too, right? That's like another thing that you can consider. There's probably just more contests available as the slates grow, right? So trucks, maybe you're playing like a little bit less, and then Xfinity, maybe you're playing a little bit more. And then once you get to cup race, you're playing, what you want to play, right? So just like some macro kind of aspects around just like NASCAR and like motorsports before we really like get into building there. So I just wanted to talk about those. All right. So now that we're back on trucks, about ready to like actually start building some lineups. So I would just make the two minimum required changes to projections. I think it's really important to understand I call this like just like slate research, kind of getting a feel for the slate, right? And things like that. The same way like we might look at like weather for golf, right? On Wednesdays, we're like, what's the weather report, right? I'll say that again. What type of course they're on and how likely they are to crash, right? Because like when Daytona comes in like February, the crash expectancy is very, very high, like at like the super speedways, right? In those scenarios, I'm a lot more willing to leave salary like very, very wide because you just like don't know what's going to win. If you're on a type of course where it is less likely for there to be like big accidents and things like that, I would consider increasing my minimum salary to be like a lot higher personally. So there's something called like a crash index. You could probably just like Google it or like, kind of search for it. I've seen like some charts out there. I forget like a resource that had one, but crash index stuff can be like good. Just like, that would be like, it's a snow game in Buffalo in December, right? Like that is the equivalent of like knowing that information. It's just like, hey, are these guys like on like a crash heavy course? Is it a road course? Like where are they? And like, what kind of course are they running on? Right. So that would be like something I would, consider like looking up here, but we're just going to roll with this as is. And so I made my two adjustments to projections. Let's say this is like a course where crashing expectancy like isn't super high. okay, I'm going to increase my minimum salary here. I'm doing that just because, like, I've looked at, like, a lot of NASCAR stuff in Flashback, and, like, generally salaries are a bit higher here. I think the builder will work that in, but I just don't want to leave such a big floor unless there's, like, a reason to. All right, cool. So min salary adjustment, two adjustments to projections, no filters or rules. I'm just going to leave everything wide open here and just really, like, lean into the Sims. All right, so we're going to kick this off, and we're going to let these lineups run. Okay, so lineups just finished. Saber building 150 lineups for tonight. Looks like Sim just ran. Diversifier is going as we speak. Okay, we have average projection. I think we fixed this. Might be on beta. I do want to check. Okay, I think it's on beta. All right, I'm going to use expanded view. I'm going to sort by exposure. Okay, exposure, leverage. All right, so build ran. I'm using one group here, just my lineups, 150 lineups. Contest sim ran, diversifier ran. We're using portfolio mode here, right? I have an average projection aggregate metric. And then I'm coming in, and then I'm sorting by exposure, right? So right off the bat, some of our highest exposures are, like, pretty even with the field. There are some people here, like Connor Zillish, 77% owned. Like, we're seeing actually, like, really, really high ownerships here. 77%, 61%, 57, 56. And then, like, a huge drop-off, right? So for some reason, these four drivers are, like, really, really high owned. I couldn't tell you why, which is kind of interesting. Because you pull up any one of these drivers. So they have an interesting range of outcomes, right? Like, some of them get negative points when they lose positions, when they crash, right? And then they have, like, an interesting kind of shape over here. I can't really call it bell curve, but it looks interesting, right? So this would, like, lead me to say, okay, you know, value is, like, less important here, right? You know, this doesn't look like a WNBA graph. This doesn't look like a basketball player, right? So normally when that happens, then value is a little less important. So, like, the fact that if, like, we sort by value, you know, we're not, like, jamming the highest value plays, right? We have a little bit of leverage, you know, 7%, 1%, 5%. But us not jamming them, I think, is, like, totally fine. Okay, what about just, like, some of the highest projected plays, right? Well, we're taking one big stand on Corey Heim here. I'm like almost positive this is our two highest leverages, actually, we could probably look at it better like this, are the one and two drivers, right? My understanding of, like, why this is because you get extra points for leading a lap. It's called laps led. And so I'm assuming that, you know, these drivers ultimately have a better chance of, like, leading. And so they benefit when they do that. So I can see why they potentially have, like, a little bit more upside here, even if we come over. Okay, so some of, like, the lowest end drivers have, like, some of the highest percentiles because they gain so many positions when they, like, move up. But I want to see laps led. Yeah, and then Corey Heim and Christopher Bell just, like, are way ahead with, like, laps led. Like, Bell is, like, a couple laps over third, and then the third hot. Well, okay, I didn't even see this, right? So it's, like, 25 for Heim, 11 for Bell. Almost nine for Zillish, and then nobody over three. So, like, these three are just, like, dominating laps led. I think that's why we have so much of, like, all three of them. We're, like, taking, like, the three highest lap led drivers here. So what I'm trying to do, right, is I'm trying to, like, get a sense for where our leverage is, like, coming from, why we have it. Do I agree with with it, right? So sometimes understanding like the scoring system can be helpful there, right? Just like understanding how drivers score points and stuff like that. Like if I didn't know place differential mattered in NASCAR, then, you know, sorting by 99th and seeing, you know, drivers in like the 30s up at the top might look really weird. It's like, oh, but like, you know, when you start in first, well, you can't gain any positions, right? You can only lose some. So it makes sense that like a driver who's in 32nd, what if they do get like all the way to the front? What if they win, right? They're obviously their upside is higher, but that doesn't, but you know, look at their lap sled, right? It's like 0.68, 0.34. Some of these guys that are super low, but then the lap sled for, you know, the guy on the pole is 25.09. So all we're doing, right, is this is just a different version of does everything we're looking at make sense, right? So that's part of it here is like, hey, you know, we want to look at this. We want to make sure like, hey, do we agree with these leverages in the players we're taking a stand on? We're not taking any huge stands against anybody, right? Like -8% is like the most. But we do have two positive double digit 14-23. I'm okay with these guys, you know, being that they're the one and two drivers, being like everything we kind of looked at here. So this feels good to me. I wouldn't be inclined to make any changes, and I'd be ready to like roll with these and, you know, save them and upload them. A couple follow ups here. Jimmy said, I don't mean to sound naive, but the same drivers on Fridays also drive on Sundays. Some of them do. Yes. So they're on like teams and their team will race on like more than one day. So sometimes the drivers race more than once. Like Christopher Bell usually does cup race. Ross Chastain usually does cup race. Kyle Busch usually does cup race. Hemric will do cup race. Buescher will do cup race. So it just depends. Some of them might even drive on like Saturday too, right? So it just depends. But yeah, you will get like overlap between days for sure. All right. Question here from Chris. Is there any advantage to creating lineup groups for all of your single entry contests, 3 maxes, 20 maxes, $1 winner take alls, and 25 cent winner take alls for baseball? Can you talk a little bit more about lineup groups? Yeah, no worries. So I think that, so let's talk like pros and cons, right? So it looks like there's a follow-up. They can only run the lower series a certain number of times. Think it's 5. Okay, this is getting beyond my understanding, but thank you for the additional information. Yeah, there's definitely people either watching the show or in the community who know a lot more about this than me, but I do know, like, you will see some overlap. I don't know about, like, limitations and rules and stuff like that, but appreciate the insight. All right, let's go back to this groups one. So let's just first talk about what happens when you group more than one contest together, right? So, like, say I had some contests, and then I just did a manual group, and I put one contest in this group. Then we are going to use the ROI of that contest alone. Okay, to rank the lineups. When I add a second contest to this group, we're going to find the average ROI for every lineup across the two contests. So like if lineup one has a 100% ROI in contest A and a 200% ROI in contest B, we're going to give the lineup a 150% ROI as the average, and that number is what gets used to grade all of the lineups and rank them. Okay, it's that average number, right? So that's something you lose when you group them together, is that specificity. Now, I would say, personally, I would be more inclined to group all of the winner-take-alls and like if you're playing satellites, all of my satellites together. Usually these contests are like really similar. You know, you see like a lot of like 100 man winner take alls, right? And you'll see the same contest just listed like over and over and over again, especially like when we get into like football season. You know, you don't really need to have different groups when the contests are like the same or like really close to the same, right? So in that sense, I would be doing something where I would just like, I was doing a demo earlier actually of something similar to this, where I would be doing a template that says lineup group type contest, create a lineup group for all of my contests. And then it says where percent to first equals 100. And then I'm going to use portfolio mode. Somebody was trying to do like this exact thing and I was doing a demo for them earlier. So I'd be using something like this and I'd be grouping all my satellites together, all my winner take alls together. And you know, it's kind of interesting, right? Because if the contests are the same, yet a different contest sim is run for each one, you almost get like a better blend of results. You're effectively, like, say you have five winner take alls, you're effectively simming the contest 500,000 times instead of 100,000 times, which is like what one sim does. So you almost get like even more reliable results. So like if I had five winner take alls, all 100 bands, I think grouping them together is actually even better because it smooths out your contest sim results even more and makes them almost even more reliable. At least like the numbers that you're seeing on the other side. Cause like ROIs will have some difference even if you run the same sim twice. But then if you're, you know, playing a similar, the exact same contest five different times, well, now you're running the sim five times and then you average that out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've simmed the contest 500,000 times. And I think you can trust those results even more. So me, what I'm doing, I'm probably doing an individual group for the single entries. You could group them together. I think it's a little tough because usually like the single entries, their entry fee like changes kind of quick. You know, you might go from like 1 to 3 to 5 to 12 to 25 to 40 to 100, right? And like they kind of like jump. So you got to be like a little bit careful. You could do something where like, okay, I want to group single entries from, you know, $1 to less than $15 together, right? Or less than 10 or something like that, right? So like I would do like, hey, create a lineup group for all, change a requirement to, you know, max entries equals 1, and then do and entry fee less than 10, right? And then now you're going to group these. And then maybe you do another one where it's like, okay, I'm going to do my single entries, you know, over $10, right? Together. And maybe I do this, you know, I do like over 10, and then I have like a second group, right? Now you can start to like batch them. So that's like another thing you could consider, right? The templates have a lot of customization and like functionality in that regard. So you could definitely mess around with different ideas. It's ultimately going to just kind of be like what makes the most sense to you and how you want to like view things, right? I think a good pro for grouping stuff is that exposures get pushed to every group individually, right? So like if I set a, you know, 80% max exposure, but I'm playing a single entry, well, then I'm not going to get that player in the single entry, right? But now if I have five single entries together, well, the 80% means I can only have that player in 4 out of 5 lineups, right? So I'm managing across this group of single entries I've put together, but I'm not like completely excluding anybody. So those would be my thoughts there as far as like grouping contests and things like that. But really good question. All right. Taking a peek here in office hours. Think we are caught up with questions here. Knocked out some NASCAR trucks demo. Talked a lot of NASCAR. Talked some groups. Starting to talk some NFL. So that's super fun. But yeah, I think we're about to get out of here. I'll be back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.